freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode number 437 of Gun Freedom Radio, where we engage, we educate, and we inform. We are brought to you by azfirearmsauctions.com, where you set the price on guns, ammo, and accessories. I am one of your hosts, Cheryl Todd.
And I'm the other guy, Dan Todd. Our theme today is of law and Congress, and our guest is Sheriff Mike Boudreaux. Mike is a 2024 candidate for Congress to represent California District 20. Sheriff Boudreaux is also the elected president of the California State Sheriffs Association, representing all 58 sheriffs in the state of California. He is a graduate of the FBI National Academy, which he attended in Quantico, and is a long track record of defending and supporting the Second Amendment. Did you hear that? Second Amendment?
I sure did. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you very much for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Well, we are excited to talk to you, not only because a very good friend of ours, Nikki Stollard, was the connector between the two of us, but also the idea that, you know, you're in California. I mean, that right there speaks volumes about, wait a minute, you've got some sheriff. He's in California and he's on Gun Freedom Radio because enforcing the law and supporting the Second Amendment in California nowadays, that sounds like an oxymoron. How do you balance those two, what we think are dichotomies? The laws have changed so much in California, not for the better, for those of us that love the Second Amendment and our freedoms. How do you balance all of that?
Well, first and foremost, California, we have people in elected positions that aren't truly representing the people of California. Mm. We have a large portion of California, including our Democrats, our moderate Democrats, that truly believe in the Second Amendment, believe in the Constitution. And we kind of get a bad look sometimes across the country when it comes to California being a predominantly blue state with elected officials in those positions. And so what we're finding is that we're having more and more elected officials making decisions at a legislative level that are not decisions made on voter enacted initiatives, which means they're making decisions on their own personal biases versus creating laws that go to the public to have voted on. Mm-hmm. And so we have many decisions that are being made, quite frankly, that don't represent the majority of people in California.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, you'll hear that when you talk to people in Illinois as well, and even places in New York, that the vast landmass is occupied by people who do not agree with this tiny bit, right, this mass of people like in Chicago or in New York City and Manhattan, and yet everybody's got to live by their tyrannical rules. And, you know, I am encouraged to hear that somebody that not only has been serving in the positions that you do, but are seeking a position at the federal level in Congress, that you do a value and live by, you know, this guy, right? Our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, because you've sworn an oath, right? You've been elected, so therefore you've sworn an oath to uphold it. Why is that such a hard thing for so many of our elected officials? Like, does oath mean nothing?
I don't think it's a hard thing for elected officials who believe in law and justice, who believe in the Constitution. It's not a hard thing. We have judges and we have elected officials making decisions based on their gut or their opinion versus what the law says. Mm-hmm. I'm a law and order candidate when it comes to the congressional race, but I'm also a law and order candidate when I ran for the position of sheriff. The sheriff is an elected position. I swore an oath to uphold the law. And it just becomes frustrating for elected officials such as sheriffs up and down the state of California when we swore to uphold the law, but yet they're making laws that go against the Constitution. It just makes no sense. Senate Bill 2 is probably one of those that stands out the most for me in California, because Senate Bill 2, again, not a voter enacted initiative. It was signed by the governor, where we can't carry a concealed weapon in places such as schools or malls or restaurants or places where, quite frankly, mass shootings occur and where we exactly. should be able to defend ourselves if that takes place. You can't carry them in a church. Now, I, as the president, along with other associations, we filed lawsuit against California pushing back. That actually went to the Ninth Court Circuit of Appeals. And shockingly, they ruled in our favor, saying that we cannot restrict people from carrying those weapons because it violates the Second Amendment, which I'm thankful to the Ninth Circuit that supported the Second Amendment. Now, we didn't win the entirety of SB 2. California is requiring more and more training, more and more backgrounds, more and more cost to the gun holder to carry those weapons.
Right.
And I said many years ago, I said, 6 years ago, I was telling people, I said, look, California is not going to take your gun. They're not going to be able to do that. The Second Amendment has gone through many, many challenges and has stood true. What they're going to start to attack is how you get your ammunition, the cost of being able to carry a gun, the training requirements to be able to carry a gun, the registration fees for having guns in your home. They're going to start coming around the other way to try to deter people from, you know, being able to have and exercise their Second Amendment. That's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're taxing ammunition wholesalers. They're taxing those who are selling guns. If you take a look, Walmart doesn't even sell guns anymore here in California. And other places, it's very restrictive. And so they're slowly chipping away at the pocketbook to where people just can't even afford it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, the nuisance of it all,
the
right? The nuisance of it all. Yeah. And the, expense of it all and the fear, right? That people are like, well, what if I just do one thing wrong, right? Like I just don't, it's easier for me to just not even have this tool and not even carry it with me. I think that's the mindset that starts settling in with people. And so then to hear someone who is a law enforcement officer, and I definitely, we've talked about that on our show before. It's like, don't be mad at our police, be mad at the people that put the laws there that the police have to enforce, because that's right in their title, law enforcement. But someone in your position to say that, you know, you are for individual ownership, you are for those freedoms, and that you are against some of this nonsense regulatory stuff that starts settling in. But Dan asked you a question off air that I think I'd love for our listeners and our viewers to hear about the fact that you are the president of this association of sheriffs. And, you know, this idea that people have that, especially in California, that most of these people are probably going to be, you know, akin to, what the heck is that guy's name from, that old show where they drove around in the red car with the flag on the painted on the top.
Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard, like the sheriff in Dukes of Hazzard, where he's just looking for a chance to, you know, nail somebody and haul them off to jail and that sort of thing. And you have said off air that your sheriffs are very much mostly in line with what you just described yourself to be.
You know, we have a meeting this week, and I will tell you, I have been the elected sheriff for going on 12 years now, and I haven't come across one sheriff that does not believe in the Second Amendment. We have sheriffs up and down the state. There's 58 of us. I'm one of 58. And I have to tell you that 90-95% of those sheriffs are issuing concealed weapon permits in their counties. And they support the Second Amendment. That's the law. We swore to uphold the Constitution. Here's what I go to. And many sheriffs will repeat the same message that I'm giving you. So I'm very data-driven. We go off data. We go off numbers. We have to deploy resources. Say, for example, we have a large number of burglaries occurring in the north part of my county. Well, that's where I'm going to deploy my resources. So we go off data. And so when it comes to restricting your gun rights, well, show me the data. Show me the data that supports what you're telling me. Are you saying that law-abiding citizens are violating the law, robbing stores, taking over parks and churches and shooting up their church and you know, just flagrantly disregard for safety? Is that what's happening? Because if that's what's happening, I support making laws that restrict that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what's happening. Law-abiding citizens are not violating the law. They're not abusing their Second Amendment right. But what we do have is gang members shooting each other. We have drug runners and gun runners who all shoot each other. We have gang members and robbers who use guns to rob stores, hurt people, scare people, do things they're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So what are you trying to fix? Are you saying that the law-abiding citizen is a problem? No. What you're trying to do is two different fold. One is a narrative of your own political agenda. And the other is that you're restricting the rights of law-abiding citizens. Law-abiding citizens are not the ones committing the crimes. I sat with Governor Newsom even within the last 6 months of being the president, and I sat and talked about that in my county in the last 12 years as sheriff, I've issued 10,000 gun permits in my county. I have not had one law-abiding citizen commit a crime. I have not had one law-abiding citizen abuse that right. Now, let's talk about gang members, drug runners, bad people using those guns for criminal means, violating the law, not obeying one law that California's put in place. The data is clear. Criminals commit crimes, not law-abiding citizens. And if criminals are committing crimes, then let's enforce the laws we already have on the books. Let's enhance your sentencing if you use a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But let's let the law-abiding citizens who aren't committing crimes defend themselves.
Exactly. If I was a sheriff in California, I would not have any hair at all. Because, you know, it's got to be frustrating for you. So you go and you arrest criminals, they get out.
Yeah.
Same day, most of the time. And then yet they want you to go and to arrest honest law-abiding citizens for these phony laws that are out there. And it's a shame to me, because it's like, if they would just do something about the criminals and be hard on the criminals, I don't think we'd be having the problems we're having today.
We wouldn't. Enforce the laws we have on the books. Hold criminals accountable. If you use a gun, you get an extra 1, 3, 5 years enhancement on your sentence. And then that message is going to start to come around pretty clearly. You get caught with a gun and you're committing a crime, you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not be demonizing the people who have a gun defending themselves mm-hmm. as the bad guy. We see those news stories all over the country where good people defended themselves,
mm-hmm.
but yet they're being held to some criminal standard. It is absolute insanity.
Right. And we have that same thing. You could use that example too, is okay. If you use a gun in a crime, we're going to give you a harder time.
Yep.
But like in Arizona, criminals know that a lot of honest citizens are carrying guns. So there's less crime because they don't want to get shot at.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you
know, people can defend themselves.
If they see signs, no guns allowed, there you know that honest people aren't going to take the guns into those places. Mm. So they can go in there and they can do what they want to do.
Mm.
So the message is being strict on crime and let honest abiding citizens, the law-abiding citizens carry.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, for law-abiding citizens, it's just we need to be standing up. We need to be pushing back. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Well, that means we write letters. That means we go to the state capitol. We go in large numbers to represent the voters. We call districts who are anti-gun, and we go and express ourselves because we have that freedom and right under the First Amendment to do so. Mm-hmm. And we have to start being vocal. Mm-hmm. We're going to be safer for it. If we don't, and the other important issue is that we start putting people in elected positions who believe in the First, Second Amendment. They mm-hmm. believe in the Constitution, and that's what they stand for. And that they're not influenced by someone who is giving a false narrative or trying to be a bully or scare you out of that position. You need tough people in position mm-hmm. who are going to stand up for the law.
Absolutely.
If we just get them to vote, if we just, I mean, how many gun owners are in California mm-hmm. that yeah. sit on their butt and don't do anything?
Mm-hmm. California. Well, I think voters are frustrated. They mm-hmm. feel as if their vote just doesn't matter. And, you know, I don't think that that's true. I'll tell you that even in my county, in our primary, we had people that didn't vote because they felt, well, it just doesn't matter. This guy's going to win. The other guy's going to win, and it just doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, if we had people in my county come out and vote, this race would be much closer than it is. And so we're trying to encourage people to get out and vote. But when we hear that every vote matters, oh my goodness, every vote does matter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We can't lose hope in that. And we can't react to this idea and this narrative that it doesn't matter, because who does that benefit, right? If you forfeited the game before you even walk on the field, we cannot do that. Our founders fought, bled, starved, and died so that we could sit home and go, oh, woe is me, my vote doesn't count. I don't think so. That's not the way that I look at things.
Well, and this goes generational deep. So we're behind the curve because they're already impacting and training our children at the smallest of levels. Mm-hmm. They're already impacting our colleges as we speak. Mm-hmm. And those people, the children and the college age students, are becoming adults. Mm-hmm. And many of us in this environment where we were raised, you know, to stand up for what we believe in, as far as the Constitution and for godly beliefs, that's fading. And all the other side has to do is be patient. What we have to do is start pushing it back against this narrative against our children in the education system. We have to reinforce the fact of our laws and God back in our country mm-hmm. and begin to establish a generational deep mindset. Otherwise, this country's lost.
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't have said that better. I want to touch on the idea, again, something we kind of chatted off air about. And we've touched on here about the fact that these gun-free zones, right, these places where good people, trained people, law-abiding citizens, responsibly armed citizens won't take their firearms because there's a sign up, right, or there's a, you know, something that prevents us from being armed in these places. That's exactly where these predators prey, right? Yeah. They go and they enact their murderous schemes. And one of the places that's key to that is our schools. And how evil do you have to be? I mean, if they don't have a gun, they're going to find something. They've used bombs, they've used knives. But you were saying that not only are, you know, you the chief law enforcement officer of your county, but you have teenage kids who are in some form of school. And then your wife is a principal in a school. And I talk about this on the show all the time, that one of our passion projects here in Arizona is bringing a program called Faster Saves Lives, which is, you know, preparedness for emergency on school campuses. And we train for everything. We train all the way up to and including carrying a firearm for certain trained staff members. And there are people out there that, knowing your resume and your family's background, they're going to say, well, he's not going to be for that. Absolutely, he would never be for that, because law enforcement doesn't like that. And teachers don't like that. Parents don't like that. What do you say to those folks?
Well, I do like that. I like the idea of someone being armed on campus. I like the idea of staff being trained on how to handle themselves in a very dangerous situation. I think what happens is with people and the other side's narrative, it's scary to think about kids being able to access a gun, right? And so you say, well, guns on campus, that's dangerous. The kid's going to get a hold of it. Well, look, we're responsible adults. There is locking systems. There is safes. There is the ability to have a gun in a place that's safe. You can enact regulations and policies and procedures that would keep people safe. But in a situation where we have an active shooter on campus and you have someone that's able to access that and engage before law enforcement gets there to save lives, that's important. We talked about it off air. I think there needs to be a sign on every campus that says someone on campus is armed. You guess who, right?
I love it.
And so you have to send a very important message that we have the ability to and will defend ourselves if you come on campus. Mm-hmm. If you say it's a gun-free zone, well, maybe that feels good, but it makes no sense. And all it does, quite frankly, we've all heard the term fish in a barrel. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to shoot fish in a barrel, those fish aren't able to defend themselves. Well, our children should be our priority. So if you don't want, here's my thought process, because we're smart people in California. We've got a lot of good, smart people here. Mm-hmm. We're spending money on things in California we shouldn't. Children should be the priority. Mm-hmm. So why can't we pay armed security or armed law enforcement to be on every school campus? If you don't want teachers armed, then put armed security or armed law enforcement on every campus in the state of California. Mm-hmm. That is easy to do. There's money that we can allocate for something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's simple. And so if the idea of not arming our teachers is just too hard for people to swallow, then let's put trained armed security or law enforcement on campuses and pay to make that happen.
I agree that we should do one or both. The the thing that we want to make clear is that, you know, a teacher says, okay, I want to carry a gun on campus. Mm-hmm. I want to protect my children. Mm-hmm. I really got a heart to. Well, they don't just give you a gun and say, okay, you go through extensive training. I mean, extensive training. And some of them can't qualify.
Exactly.
It's really hard. Exactly. And so just because you want to carry a gun doesn't mean you're going to be allowed to. You're going to have to be very responsible with it. And but I the thing that worries me about armed security that's out in the open in a school is that that gives a target for somebody to go to first. Now, if you have more than one, that's a good thing, too. Yeah. But you know how it is. The first thing you do is take out the person with the armed gun. But most of these criminals that do the things they do at schools won't go that far. Mm-hmm. They're cowards. They're losers or whatever. So, but I think
if you have a sign out front plus armed security, I would argue that that campus now becomes safe. Yeah. And that target environment, unless it's very personal, they're going to pick somewhere else. Right. And so look, what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to have these type of things without making intelligent decisions and moving forward for safety? Putting a sign on campus that says gun-free zone, what does that say? Mm-hmm. It just is not a good narrative. Doesn't send a good message, and it doesn't make anybody any safer.
Right. Exactly. So I wanted to ask you, because you're going to be, when you win your election, you're going to be going from enforcing laws, right, to creating laws. What kind of shift is that going to be for you? And how does your nearly four decades of experience so far, much of it as the highest law enforcement officer in your county, how does it prepare you and translate into the job of a congressperson?
Well, I think you put it well. We're going from law enforcer to lawmaker. Mm-hmm. And so how it prepares me over the last 40 years is that I have dealt with bad legislation. Mm-hmm. I have been in the trenches looking in the eyes of human trafficking victims, human trafficking mm-hmm. suspects. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who was shot and killed by someone who had been deported three different times, should have never come across an open and unsecure border. That's we need a strong and secure border. Mm-hmm. But the difference between me and my opponent is that I do have 38 years of dealing with legislators, mm-hmm. both federally and within the state. And they've been failed. They have failed California. They have failed America. No one is standing up, pushing back, being that strong-willed person who has had to live and enforce bad laws. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, America's in trouble, and And I'm tired. I'm tired as a law enforcement officer trying to enforce things that people don't even know about. They're making laws based on sitting behind a desk or being told what the environment is like. I have real life experiences. I have people in my county living in poverty. We have people in my district living in poverty. They're not eating food every day. Look, I'm blessed. I get to eat every single day. There's people in our district that aren't eating every single day. There are people making decisions between a full gallon of milk and a half gallon of milk. Mm-hmm. We have people that can't go to work every day because the jobs aren't there. Our economy is out of control. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, Sheriff, you know, you're the law enforcement guy. How does the economy and the dollar impact you? Well, we have people stealing. We have people committing crimes to survive. Mm-hmm. And we have a mental health crisis in California that I, as law enforcement, have to deal with on a daily basis. My jail system, I have 2,200 inmates in my jail. 64% of those inmates are on mental health care, mental health evaluation, or mental health medications. Mm-hmm. So when you say, Sheriff, how do you go from law enforcement to lawmaker? I've dealt with it. I've lived it. I have done it for the last 38 years. I have been in the trenches, like I said before, and I'm tired. I want people to be in a position that make a decision because you know that those decisions are impacting real people. Mm-hmm. We can't continue to pass a budget that impacts people who can't eat every day. Mm-hmm. We can't have a budget that's passed where our gas prices are close to $7 a gallon, and we can't afford to put gas in our car.
Yeah.
You know, for us, you, me, and many people that I know are blessed, but mm-hmm. there are thousands of others in my district and across America. They're struggling. Yeah. They're struggling each day. And so here's what I bring: those stories.
Yeah.
Those stories. And I know that my decision that I make in voting yes or no on something in the federal government that impacts real people, I feel it, I believe it, and I know that those decisions are important. Because people's lives matter.
Absolutely.
You're standing there and you're voting. You've got a decision between somebody who's been in the trenches, that's been there, that understands the laws and the effect of laws. Mm-hmm. And then you have another guy that, you know, maybe.
It's all theory.
Yeah.
It's all theory to that guy.
And who are you going to vote for? There's a couple other sheriffs that are running for Congress. And the ones that I know are true Constitution people. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need people that know the law, know the Constitution, because if we don't have the Constitution, we don't have anything.
We don't. And for the sheriffs that are running across this country, God bless them. They know the Constitution. They have stood up for the Constitution. And when you have lawmakers doing it based off an opinion or narrative or a false narrative, then we absolutely have to have people in position that understand that.
Well, and to that point, this is a good segue to my next question. You can call it an ERPO, you can call it a red flag law. They have a bunch of different names for basically gun confiscation schemes, right? Where a family member or a friend or someone anonymously, depending on what state you're in, can make a phone call and say, hey, I don't know, my neighbor has guns and he's yelled at his dog this morning and I am super nervous that, you know, he's gone off the deep end. And so when we have these red flag laws or these ERPOs in place, that empowers law enforcement to jump right over due process and go in and not, like, you know, take this person who's supposedly such a threat or to himself or others, but just the guns, right? They're just going to go in there and take all their guns. And those are only the guns that you know about, right? And now,
not his knives and car and everything else.
Exactly. All the other ways that people hurt each other. And then the Biden administration has recently announced a national ERPO, Extreme Risk Protection Order, resource center. So, you know, when you get to Congress and now you're going to be dealing with these federal, these national things of that nature, that really, it's nothing that's going through the rigors of passing a law. It's not even, you know, a regulation. kind of a situation, which often act as laws without going through the rigors. You've just got this resource center, which is, I think, basically going to pay off states who go along with the scheme. How are you going to positively impact that, where you're helping rein those sorts of things in?
Well, you're just going to have to go back and push back and fight and stand for the Second Amendment. I mean, quite frankly, I think it's becoming a violation of privacy for one. You know, mm-hmm. This is a way to track down people, mm-hmm. their money, their resources, track down mm-hmm. guns, who has mm-hmm. them, the ability to investigate. You know, we talked about data earlier. You know, that data is going to be easily accessible to the federal government and to states. And so we're going to have to push back and fight and say, hey, look, this is a violation of the Second Amendment. And it's so important to be able to have good attorneys on board, good people with like-minded ideas to say, hey, look, this type of stuff, we're going to have to say no. Mm-hmm. And when they continue to push it, you're going to have strong-willed people in position that say and are willing to fight and have the money and resources to do it, because that's a big thing. When you don't have the money to push back and fight, then they're able to pretty much do what they want. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in over-regulation and or over-registration. I don't believe the federal government should use those types of things for overreach. And I think it's overreach.
It is overreach.
Yes, and
thank
the red flag law really bothers me, because you take the tools away, some of the tools away, from somebody who's mentally disturbed. But the person that should be taken away is a mentally disturbed person.
We do that. We have a category of application within our own agency and up and down the state. If you have anyone that has a past history of mental illness, or we have people that are reporting this person to have a history and or the potential for mental health caution, you know, we take a good strong look at that. We never allow someone to carry a gun that has a mental health issue or a background of mental health issues. But the red flag laws, I mean, that to me is so egregious in nature, because anybody can say anything about anyone. Yes. And then all of a sudden law enforcement has to go in and restrict and remove. Right. That's not right. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I have two more questions, and our time is ticking very quickly away.
Yeah.
But they do kind of tie together. The first one is, you are in California District 20,
yeah.
And it is semi-famous for being the district that Kevin McCarthy served in. He was briefly the Speaker of the House in D.C. And so obviously he's a Republican, but then people feel like he wasn't strong enough Republican. And how is all of that, or is any of that, impacting your race as it's unfolding now?
Well, it impacts it because, you know, all the attention's on this district. And the reality of it is that, you know, I stand on my own two feet, my own belief system. I know Kevin, you know, he and I have talked many times. I think that it's a perfect example for him. You know, he reached one of the highest goals in the country to be Speaker of the House, and congrats to him. But quite frankly, the party itself is not unified like it should be. Mm. I think there's far more fractions within the party. What I want to bring to that position is the ability to unify people. Mm. You know, as the sheriff, part of my job is coming in and bringing people together who have not like experiences and or not like opinions. And, you know, I go to a call of a domestic violence, and you have a man and a woman who are in an argument, and my job is to make sure that things are safe and people get along again. And so I bring that experience level.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. And so I, quite frankly, am able to go into a very hostile environment and bring and unify people. Mm. I don't think this district would have the attention that it's having if it wasn't for Kevin McCarthy. Mm-hmm. But I supported Kevin, and I don't have anything bad to say about him. That's a very tough environment back there. Mm-hmm. I think it's a tough environment in D.C., but I bring a whole new fresh perspective, a whole new set of eyes. I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. I'm not part of the establishment. Mm-hmm. I'm not part of the swamp. I'm coming in as a sheriff to try and bring law and justice back into our district, law and order back into our country. And real life experiences, as I said before, where people have real lives based on the decisions that I will make. If we're fortunate enough to win, and hopefully we are, then that's the way that I'm going to see things. I'm not going to go in there with a Kevin McCarthy attitude because I'm not Kevin McCarthy.
I love it. That's no, fantastic.
The old rank, it seems like maybe they owe each other things, and so that's why they're struggling. Instead of believing what's true, they owe favors, they owe this and that. Getting new blood in there, just all I ask is they follow the Constitution. I don't care. Just follow the Constitution.
Exactly.
And keep.
And that's why we need term limits.
I agree with that. And
we need term limits.
One of my favorite representatives, Thomas Massie, you know, he says, well, our term limits are our elections, right? And I wish it really worked that way, but that's not what we're seeing, right?
It doesn't, because, you know, even for me, they've already spent $1 million against me, little old me. You know what? Against a fellow Republican. So the argument is are you able to buy the election for the people you want? So there needs to be restrictions in a lot of different things. And if I can get there, you're not going to have, at least I would hope we can push for, you don't get to use untold amounts of millions of dollars in a campaign. Mm-hmm. You don't get to, you know, hand select those elected. And those who do go on position understand, work hard because you're only going to be there for a very short amount of time.
That money is coming from people who don't want a constitution person in
it's true. That's true.
Well, thank you so much for all of this time. This was such a fun conversation. I really, you know, we are in neighboring states. We're over here in Arizona. Yep. You're right there in California. Whatever goes on in your state does make its way over to us. So
it does. My undersheriff is from Arizona.
Oh, yeah? Well,
yeah,
he
goes back there every couple months.
I love it. And I am encouraged to hear what you are portraying as what the law enforcement officers at the highest levels, the sheriffs, are, you know, they are still connected to our founding documents. And that does give me hope. So just as we go out, can you tell folks, you know, how can they support your campaign? Because everybody knows that a campaign runs on manpower, volunteers, and money. And you have people spending $1 jillion against you, and people can donate from every state that are supportive of that and don't want the California muck to come our way. So tell folks how they can follow the work you do and support your campaign.
Well, if you can spell my name, it's Mike Boudreaux for Congress. And you can get that on .com. You can get that on Instagram. You can get that on Facebook. You can get that with our email address, but I have a personal one that people seem to follow more. And that's the number 6, don't spell out 6, the number 6, point gold star, all one word. I have a 6-point gold star that I wear on my shirt. It's my badge. It's the number 6, POINTGOLDSTAR. That's my Instagram page. And I have a lot of people that follow me there. And that will lead you to all of our official pages.
That's great. Boudreaux, it's a beautiful name, but it is a little tricky on the spelling.
It's
so we'll
tricky
be sure
on the spelling.
People know as they click through the links on our show how to reach you as well. Mike Boudreaux, thank you so much. Sheriff Boudreaux, thank you so much for your service. I hope that you get a chance to continue that service at the federal level as a congressperson.
We'll see. God willing, we'll be there. Thank you.
Love it. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sheriff. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Man, does he give me hope?
Yes, it's it does. And you know, I just, why it shouldn't be it's a no-brainer for anybody. I don't care who you're, Democrat, Republican, whatever. The Constitution is our country.
You know what's interesting to me is that last election we knew of several Navy SEALs, right, who have put their actual lives on the line to protect and preserve. That were running for office. Eli Crane here in Arizona, for one, he got into office and he has been such a powerhouse he's on the Freedom Caucus. You know, he is really doing the work that we sent him there to do. And now this time we have like Sheriff Lamb here in Arizona, who's running for Senate, actually. And then Mike Boudreau in California running for Congress, which is the House of Representatives. And let me just say Boudreau, B-O-U-D-R-E-A-U-X, Boudreau. So everybody can look that up right, correctly. And I feel encouraged. And I know that so many people, if things weren't so crazy and so bad, there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't have stepped up and said, I'm going to change my career. I'm going to, you know, do things differently so that I can serve at a higher level. And so sometimes when we hear about how bad things are, I feel like there are silver linings. And people like Mike Boudreau, Sheriff Lamb, to me, are those silver linings. All right, we have got to get scooting out of here. So I wanted to tell folks about our good friends at The Complete Combatant. They have made this great new product, and you can find out all about it at lockedingrip.com. Hopefully that is showing up. So have you ever been out on the range, right? And especially
home heating on the range.
Out on the range, the shooting range.
Oh, I thought we were going to see something.
As things are heating up and it's getting hotter, it's getting more humid across the nation. When you're on an outside range, you know, you get that perfect grip and you got those tight groupings and everything's going great. And then the sweat starts kicking in, right? And you start losing that grip. Well, Locked In Grip is a grip enhancer that helps your hands stay free of moisture to create a slip-free connection to the action of shooting your firearm. Locked In Grip is a liquid shooting sports chalk that is made for shooters by shooters. And visit lockedingrip.com. Get yourself some and maybe whoever your favorite range partner is so that you guys, when you're out there having a little healthy competition or real competition, you've got the, you know, an even playing field, or just get it for yourself. And then you've got that edge, right? And then also, as the show starts wrapping up, we always, I don't know why we work up an appetite the way we do, but our favorite snacks to have in the studio are these Simply Fit Peach Praline. They have a bunch of different flavors. They're kind of like a granola, but they're so delicious.
They're good.
I'll let you hold that. And
no, you don't have to hold it.
And
we
buy those through this great program that is actually an invitation only program. And Dan and I are going to invite you today. So this is your invitation to join this private invitation only shopping club. It is helping our family and millions of others cut that cord on those huge corporations where you normally go and buy all of your household cleaning goods and your shampoos and all
those
things.
Anti-gun companies that are hidden all over?
Anti-freedom companies. Yes. You can cut the cord on those that are using our own money to diminish our freedom and individual liberties, from laundry soap to skincare to delicious snacks and even steaks and hamburger you can get through this program. You can shop online as you need items, or do what I like to do. I set my order and I forget it, and it shows up. My monthly order shows up on my doorstep, delivered directly to the house. Could not be any easier than that.
And the best steaks you'll ever eat. I promise you.
Promise you that. And the hamburger is amazing as well. So you just need to go to patriothousehold.com/GFR for Gun Freedom Radio. And every dollar that you spend there supports American jobs on American soil, making American-made products. And we get a small portion of that to help with the efforts that we have, the travel that we do going around the nation, speaking about our Second Amendment. And it also helps the Second Amendment Foundation. And they are an amazing organization, SAF.org. They are fighting in the courts all of these ridiculous infringements on our gun rights. And so you can help all of these organizations, including your own family, to have healthier American-made products if you just go to patriothousehold.com/GFR. All right.
Well, and you know, we really truly use this product.
We do. Absolutely. Doesn't my hair look amazing because I use their shampoo?
Doesn't my hair look there?
Because you use their shampoo. All right. Well, as we need to get on out of here, thank you again to Sheriff Mike Boudreau and all of our listeners and our viewers all over the planet. You know, we're talking to somebody running for office in one state in the United States, and yet his message resonates. All of our subject matter experts' messages resonate with people all over the world because we really, our hearts yearn for freedom and liberty, and how we get so clouded up that we're allowing that to drift away. It's not okay. And I don't understand really other than we're in such a spiritual war, why that would be going on. So thank you so much. If you want to listen to this or rewatch this episode on video form, you go to YouTube or Gunstreamer or the Opsland smartphone app. If you want to hear the audio only version, because you're out mowing the yard or taking a bike ride, go to our website, gunfreedomradio.com. Click the on demand tab and
binge listen to your heart's content,
darling. And if you want to see photos and bios and links to all of our guests, including Sheriff Mike Boudreau, click the guest tab. It is a growing resource. And when you spend time there, we don't hate that. All right. Until next time, we are going to pray for this nation. We're going to pray for our leaders, people in leadership positions.
Pointing at me like that.
I did point at you like that.
I'm praying.
Because you don't want to pray for the ones you don't like. And I say we have to pray for all of them. Even the ones, especially the ones we don't like.
Okay.
All right. Until next time, be good to each other. Have a great week and God bless.
Bye-bye.